Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, if you would. Luke chapter 9, page 841 in those red pew Bibles in front. I want to encourage you to look along, read along with us as we continue to work through this book of Luke as he's unveiling Jesus to us. How many of you in here are list makers? Like if you got things you got to do, you got a big long list. I do that almost every day when I come in, and, you know, things I got to do. Especially whenever I take a trip, if I go camping, if I go on vacation, always a list, you know, things I got to do. Don't forget to turn down the thermostat or whatever when I leave. And how many of you have said, oh man, I should have written that down? Right? Lists are important. They help us to remember things, to help us to stay focused, help us to remember what is important that we need to do. And in the past couple of weeks, we have seen, as we followed Jesus here in the book of Luke, we've seen him do some amazing things, like casting out demons. He's cast out a demon from a man. We saw him heal a sick woman when Jesus didn't even know she was sick. Remember the woman who came up behind him just to touch his cloak, and the woman was healed. And then last week we saw Jesus raise a dead girl from life. And so now we come to a point where Jesus says, he turns to the disciples and says, okay, it's your turn. It's your turn. He's going to send them out. And so he gives them instructions, preparing them to go out, sort of a checklist of things they're to do and not to do and things to remember as they go. And so in the few verses that we look at today, we're going to see that Luke has assembled what I like to call a kingdom worker checklist for all of us, for all of his readers, because, you know, Luke is not just telling the biography of Jesus. This isn't just the story of Jesus. This is for us as well. And so I think Luke has a checklist for us to be well prepared as we follow Jesus and go out as well. So starting verse 1 of Luke chapter 9, let's pray before we jump into it. God, we thank you. We thank you for the Bible that has just been around for all these years, and it is just a treasure trove of wisdom about life. And about you, it tells us all about you. It tells us about us and what is wrong with us. And then it tells us how we can make things right. And so, Lord, as we open up your word this morning, we ask that your spirit would open up our eyes that we might get a deeper understanding of how to live our lives in accordance with how you have designed us, that we might become more like Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 1. When Jesus, excuse me, I got something down in there. It's funny, I turn away and do it, so I don't do it towards you, but the microphone's still on. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see Jesus. And when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Now, I don't know about you, but this would have scared me to death if I'd have been one of the disciples. Because I'm not a guy for bold new adventures to go out and try, I'm not the try new things sort of guy. Now, some of the disciples, I could see guys like Peter. We kind of know Peter, who's like rash and go do things. Before Jesus had said amen on his closing prayer to let him go, Peter would have been gone, right? He'd have been out heading to do what Jesus asked him to do. If it had been me, I'd been looking for a way to stay back in camp. Just to tell Jesus, I just don't think I'm ready. You know, if you got some stuff, let me clean up camp here. You know, if you got any errands that you'd like to run, I'd be more than happy to do them, Jesus, because I just don't think that kind of intimidates me a little bit. And we have to remember that the guys, the disciples who Jesus picked, they're just average Joes. They are not the top of the line, the smartest of the community. He picked average people, right? And so I have to think that some of them were a little apprehensive and unsure, maybe even feeling unworthy that they could go out. I'm sure some of them would have been like me saying, oh my gosh, I know I should have paid more attention. What does he say when he casts out demons? I forget that again. You know, that had been me. I should have taken notes, right? But Mark says, in the Mark, the gospel writer Mark says that Jesus sent them out in pairs, which I would have went, woo, you know, thank God I don't have to do it alone. I can pair up with somebody, right? So he sends them out in pairs with this checklist, this instruction list, which challenges them, but also gives them some confidence as they go. So this past week, some of you, we have shared that we had the grandkids. You know, I talk about the grandkids a lot because I love my grandkids. We had them all week at our house because the parents were celebrating their 10-year anniversary. So we had them all week at our house, including two snow days. My wife was so disappointed she didn't get to have legitimate snow days. So she's looking forward to this week again, right? But when they were home, one of the things they were playing was teacher, okay? And so they were playing teacher. So what Diana, the creative person that she is, she made them, we have some lanyards, and she made them some badges that they drew their names on and drew pictures on it. And then Diana, one day, she did take them to work, and she got them laminated. And so now they were wearing their badges around as they were playing teacher, like they have credentials. You know, they were it, right? They were legitimate, right? Verse 1, Jesus said, he gave the disciples power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. Here's the first thing that Jesus told the disciples, and that is to remember your credentials. Remember your credentials. That power that Jesus had to cast out demons, that power over unclean spirits, that power over sickness and Jesus and diseases, Jesus took that and transferred it to his disciples. He gave them that authority. I think that is amazing that he would just be able to do that. Another thing that he did right before he ascended into heaven, we read it in Matthew chapter 28. He gave the authority to all of us. Look at Matthew chapter 28. It'll be up on the screen. It says this: all authority, Jesus said, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you guys go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. We, as followers of Jesus today, we claim that. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God has given you, Jesus has given you the authority to go out into the world and to tell and to represent him, to tell other people about Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are Christ's ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? They go to a foreign country and they represent the country that they came from, right? They have the power and the authority to represent the country that they came from. Christ has given us that authority. Think about that. We have that authority from Jesus to go out into the world and to represent him. That's pretty cool, all right? So we remember our credentials. Back when I lived in Indiana, when I was a youth pastor, the church there every year would send Diana and I to the National Youth Workers Convention. And it was held in different cities around the country. And it was a fun time. We'd go there, and there would be seminars and workshops and then worship, and, you know, all designed to make you a better youth pastor. I remember talking with one youth pastor one time and had a conversation with him. And I was asking him, you know, about such and such speaker and seminars he'd been to. He goes, "Oh, I don't even go to them." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "No, man." He goes, "You know, I come here, our church sends me here, and my wife and I use this as a vacation getaway. We stay in a hotel, we go sightseeing, we, you know." I'm going, "Really? Really? Right? Yeah, we just have a night out in the town." And it's like, wait a minute. I'm thinking, didn't the church send you for the purpose of becoming a better youth pastor, you know? And it's like he forgot the main purpose. Now, sure, you go there to have fun, because Diane and I certainly did, but, you know, you can't forget the main purpose. Here's the second item on the checklist from Luke, and that is to remember your purpose. Remember your purpose. Verse 2, it says that Jesus sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. The disciples are to do the exact same thing that Jesus was doing, preaching and teaching the people about the kingdom of God, and then to go about healing people. Now, you can imagine our average disciples, our average Joe disciples, as they would go into a village. These aren't educated rabbis that knew the scripture super well. They weren't really educated speakers or anything like that. So I have to wonder, they just go into a town and they start talking, who's going to listen to them? So maybe that's not going to work, right? You go to the town square, and people, let me tell you about this guy Jesus. Who are you? You look like a fisherman. Well, yeah, you know. You know what probably the easiest thing for them to do would be to go to where the people are hurting, to where all the poor people are gathered, and the people who are lepers are, and the people who are just sick, right, that are begging, and you go to them and you heal them first. And then once you start healing a couple people are amazed. All of a sudden, now you have an audience. Who are you guys with? And you start talking about this guy, Jesus, who is the Messiah from God, and you start talking about him on his teachings and what he's turned, you know, all of a sudden people will be locked into you and listening to you, right? I think a lot of Christians and a lot of churches, we have lost our main purpose. For a lot of Christians, their purpose is just going to heaven. Like, this is, you know, I invite Jesus into my heart, and then I just sit around and wait until I go to heaven. And along the way, I'm a good person. Like, that's the other purpose. One purpose is waiting to go to heaven. The other purpose is you just be good. And what some theologians call that is sin management. Right? We just want to manage the sin in our lives. And that ends up becoming our focus. Just, I want to be good. I want to be good. But Jesus' kingdom message has always been twofold. Right? He said that back in Luke chapter 4. This is why I came, and this is a good model for us today. Now, I want this to make us feel uncomfortable. Okay? In fact, if God's word doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, you're probably not listening hard enough. Right? Here's the first thing that we ought to be about. Go to people who are hurting. In our neighborhood, in our community. That's why we sometimes have missions around the world. Now, we do that partly as a church. That's why we have the Comfort and Joy Team. That's a good name for a group that would go to people that are hurting. That's why we have a group that builds wheelchair ramps and a firewood ministry. It's why we have a food pantry. That's why we have people that go to shut-ins and go to see people in the hospital, give rides to people, and participate in Meals on Wheels. But then we can do it individually in our neighborhoods or where we work or the people that we know. We see that people are going through a difficult time. We shouldn't just say, "Oh, man, hey, Greg, would you pray for so-and-so because they're going through a difficult time? But we ought to be thinking, how can I go to them and help the hurt that they are dealing with? So sometimes we do it. We send a card, or maybe you bake them a casserole. We've heard that this morning. Or bake them cookies. Or we go to their place and just say, hey, man, I'm a Christian. Do you mind if I pray for you? So we go to people who are hurting. That's one of our main purposes that we should be about as followers of Jesus. And then the second thing is this. We emphasize the good news of God. Then sometimes in conversation, people would just say, why are you doing this? You know, why you didn't have to. Why are you doing this? And so we can just say, because my boss Jesus told me so. Right? And we tell people, we have the opportunity to tell people, listen, God loves you. You know, God wants to forgive you. God wants a relationship with you. We look for opportunities to emphasize the good news of God. This is our purpose as followers of Jesus. Those two things. Go to people who are hurting, share the good news of God, which then leads to the third item on the list, and where Jesus says in verse 3, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Now, item number 3 is exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. I think I shared this before, but a couple summers ago, when Kara and I walked the El Camino in Spain, across Spain, and we did that for a couple weeks of just, you know, walking this trail, it was a real act of faith for me, the guy that likes to have all his ducks in a row, okay? Because it's not like, hey, Monday night we're going to stay here, Tuesday we're going to stay here, Wednesday we're going to stay here. It's like we're going to start off. And where we get to Monday, there's going to be hopefully a hostel there. Oh, we've got a little map that tells us there's a couple hostels. Gee, I hope they have room when we get there. We better leave early. Oh, this place will take reservations. Oh, that place won't. Oh, man. Kara, we need to leave early. We just, and I was telling her, and she would call, and I was just like, one day she finally just said to me, Dad, aren't you always talking about having faith? And like, yeah. I still want to know where I'm staying tonight. But it was a challenge for me, right? And Jesus is wanting to teach the disciples faith and relying on God. And this was a great way to do it as they went out on this mission. So he tells them, you travel light. Don't take stuff. Don't take a staff, which wasn't a walking stick. That was a big stick for defense. Okay? Don't take that. You're going to trust in God. Right? Don't take a bag. What that meant, there would be traveling philosophers that would go from town to town and village to village, and they would speak and share their wisdom and impress people with things they say, and people would go, oh, that's pretty cool. And they'd give them a couple coins, you know. And Jesus said, you guys are not going to be like that. That was a common thing back then. You guys are not going to be like that. You take no bag. You're not. People aren't going to give you anything like that, right? No bread, no money, no extra shirt. Hospitality was a common thing back in the first century, and so they were to rely on the hospitality. So he says, take nothing extra. You're going to fully rely on God. So as we carry out, here's the deal for us. As we carry out Christ's purpose for us, in other words, going to people that are hurting and looking for opportunities to give them the good news, that is often very challenging for us. Because we ask the question, well, I know there's, you know, I can read the newspaper. I know there's a lot of people that are hurting throughout the world. So what do I do? Or even in my own community, what should I do? How do I share Jesus with someone? That scares me to death. How do I do it? And then what if they reject me? What if they close the door on me? What if they get mad at me? And we have all these questions when it comes to helping. We like comfort. I more than as much as anybody else like comfort, okay? And I don't like to get out of my comfort zone. And so when we start doing things like this, it, you know, helping people, and it's just, it makes us uncomfortable. So what do we do when we're uncomfortable? We back out and we just say, you know what, I know I'm a good Christian, and so we leave it. And all of a sudden, we have lost that focus, okay? So this is where we have the faith This is where we have faith and we praise it. God, I'm uncomfortable about this. And we pray. It says, Spirit, just direct me. What should I do? And then we act in faith. This is how it works. It's not always laid out for us. Doggone it. I wish it was always laid out for me. It's not. I don't know how many times I've visited somebody in the hospital who was kind of maybe loosely affiliated with the church. Okay? Or somebody said, oh, they used to come 20 years ago. It'd be good if you, they're in the hospital. It'd be good if you go see them. It's like, I don't know them. They're in a bad situation. How is their family going to react to me? Okay? I mean, here's what I deal with. Because I'm not an extrovert. I'm not the outgoing. You see me up here jumping around and talking. That's not me. Okay? I am Mr. Shy and background. And so also things like that, I don't have the gift of mercy. Some of you will say amen to that, right? But that's just not in my skill set. All right? And so what do I have to do in those situations? I got to pray and just say, all right, God, I'm going to do it. And I do it. I do it. Right? Unsure how things are going to turn out. But this is what faith is. Do you understand? This is what faith is. Okay? It's ministry in an unsure situation. And so this is where we exercise our faith. Then in verse 4, he says, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. Jesus didn't want the disciples to be flitting from house to house looking for a better, you know, you go to one place and then you're hanging with this family for a while. And then you start talking with this other family and you learn that, oh, they have air conditioning and a hot tub and a pool. Well, let's go stay. John, let's go stay with them, right? Jesus says, no. That's not a good look. It's not a good look for the ministry. And so number 4 is this. Don't be greedy. Don't be a snob. Don't be greedy. Don't be a snob. I remember one time I was visiting used to be a member here before he passed. Had some relatives that were very wealthy. And as I visited him, his relatives were there. And they appreciated my visit. And the guy says to me, he goes, hey, man, you know, I got season tickets to UVA, basketball, football, and the Redskins. The Redskins back then, he goes, anytime you want to go, you just let me know. Now, I like watching sports, especially if it's free. But I'd never be so bold to go up to this guy that I don't know real well and just say, hey, I'll take you up on those free Redskin tickets, right? But it did enter my mind. Did enter my mind because I'm a human being of maybe going and visiting this guy a little more often and perhaps running into his relative that he would just say, here's 2 tickets. Why don't you just go? You know? You see how that works? Jesus wants us to serve and be content with our service, to not look for personal advantages because it ruins the integrity of the gospel. We don't want anybody saying, oh, the only reason that you're doing that is because you're getting something out of it on this side. We help people because Jesus wants us to. And part of it, we're guided by James chapter 2, which I have in your outline, where James says, we're not to show favoritism. You don't just serve the people who have money because you know they'll help you out. You serve both. Verse 5, if people do not welcome you, Jesus said, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Number 5, don't expect everyone to like you or applaud what you're doing. Some people are not going to appreciate what you do. Jesus said, all right, go to the next person. Don't take it personally. Jesus would later say, hey, they're not rejecting you. They're actually rejecting me, right? And this is often why we don't share the gospel or we don't end up serving, because what, something could go wrong. What happens if they don't like us? What happens if, you know, especially if I do something for them and they don't respond in the way that I think? Listen, we have to remember everybody has bad days, bad weeks, bad years. There are lots of hurt and sadness going around, and people may end up taking it out on you. And so Jesus says, if they do, you move on. So imagine, if you would please, you are a disciple and you go out and you start. There's somebody sick there and you just say, you know, in the name of Jesus, I heal you. And all of a sudden that person gets up and they're feeling well and they're walking around. And you do it again and you do it again. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to think, this is pretty cool. You know, I mean, that this is, you know, you imagine what that power would feel like. And then when you do it, and you start talking about this guy Jesus and his teachings, and people are locked in at you, man. They are like focused on you. They want to hear all about what you have to say. And now, not only do you heal somebody, but your words, and people are just like hanging on your every word, right? And so the word about Jesus is spread. Jesus is super popular, not just him, but now the disciples, so much so that King Herod gets word of it, and he sends delegations to try and get Jesus to come and visit the White House. He tried to see it. That's what it was. Jesus and the disciples have gone viral. They've made it. They are rock stars, man. This is awesome. It's really interesting. A couple verses in chapter 9, a couple verses down the road, we see that the disciples had an argument about which one of them is the greatest. So could you imagine what's going on? They come back, right? They're telling stories. And one guy said, I literally went into this house. The whole family was sick and about to die. And boom, and they all got well. The whole family. This guy, oh yeah? I cast out 3 demons in a row. Bam, bam, bam. And they were screaming and shouting. It was crazy, man. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Oh yeah? I went to a leper colony. 10 of them all around. Helpless, helpless. And laid my hands on each one of them. 10 of them. Just like that. Yeah, man. And not only that, you know, they put a gold watch. They gave me a gold watch. They wouldn't. I had to take it. They wouldn't. I said, no, no, no. They gave me a gold watch. They gave me the key to the city. We had a big banquet, man. We gained 5 pounds that day. It was crazy, man. And they're telling stories and outdoing one another. And so Luke, I think, inserts these couple verses about Herod as a way of reminding us, number 6, and that is this, to be humble. Don't let your successes go to your head. Because this mention of Herod is the beginning of dark clouds on the horizon of Jesus' fantastic ministry. Up till now, this has been all like, wow, it's been awesome. And now with the mention of Herod and trying to see Jesus, that does not sound good. And Luke is showing us that it'll be reminding us that it is the grace of God that enables us to do things in ministry, and it will be the grace of God that will likewise get us through those dark times that come upon us. And if we are not humble, we will crash and fall and perhaps walk away from the faith. And then finally, verse 10, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus all they had done. Number 7 is this: reflect often with Jesus about what you have seen and heard. It's important to debrief and have regular sit downs with Jesus, because you know what? Sometimes you're going to go out and do ministry, or you're just going to have a bad day. And it's good to debrief it with Jesus, because there's going to be discouragements. There's going to be disappointments and failures and make mistakes, and people are going to reject you, and we're going to need to sit down with Jesus and allow him to encourage us and build us back up again. I can remember a couple years ago, there were some friends from Indiana that had contacted us, contacted Diana, and said, hey, we're coming down to the area. We'd like to spend some time with you this afternoon. We'd like to go hiking. We heard about this Crabtree Falls that we'd like to go hiking. How about we do that? How about we meet there and let's go hiking? I'm like, yeah, okay, that's good. That's great. Let's do it. So, you know, I kind of got my pack ready and packed some water and stuff. And I turned to Diana and said, did you tell them about needing water? Because Crabtree Falls isn't like a walk in the park. You know, it's kind of zigzaggy and up, you know, a couple miles up a hill. And I said, it's going to be quite a challenge, you know. And she goes, oh, they're experienced hikers. They'll bring water. So we meet them there, and they get out of the car, and they're just got their shorts and shoes on and nothing. So I'm like sharing my water, right? A couple water bottles, just unprepared. I met a guy hiking one time on a Monday, and I said, I found a good trail for us. We can see an old car on this trail. There's some ruins. It'll be a good trail. It'll be a good day. But, I said, we're going to have to cross a couple streams. And so, you know, you may not be able to rock hop, and it'll be low, but, you know, I said, so he shows up, and he just has tennis shoes on. And so we get to the first stream, and he goes, oh. As I go sauntering across in my waterproof hiking boots, you know, not a problem. And he's like, I don't want wet feet. And so he's taking off his socks and his shoes and struggling, you know, to get across the Stony Creek. And unprepared. Friends, Jesus has sent us out on a very important and crucial mission. Don't just wing it. Don't just wing it, but be prepared. Be prepared. Would you bow your heads, please? I'm going to give you a time of silence. I just want you to think about the checklist of a kingdom worker. Maybe just look over that list and just to think about where on that list do you need a little more preparation? Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you during this time of silence. Now that God has pointed that out to you, what are you going to do about it? What steps will you take this week to be more prepared? Father God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for redeeming us and holding a place in heaven for us. Lord, may we also remember that you have called us to go out into the world and represent Jesus Christ wherever we go. We are ambassadors for Christ. Lord, may we take that seriously. May we take it more seriously this week than we did last week. Lord, we pray that we would be more prepared through the things that you have showed us, through the steps that you have showed us of what we can do. And Lord, anytime we are making changes in our life, it is hard. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us courage and strength to make those changes. Lord, would you allow your Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us all week long and encourage us as we become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name. Amen.